Ask you to open with us this morning to Luke chapter 5. We'll hear in just a few minutes together in Luke chapter 5. It is good to be here this morning. I am thankful that Joe was able to come and be here with you all last week while I was on vacation, and then he's on vacation this week, and so I was able to go and worship this morning with New Harvest and fill in for him and then come over here. So it's worked out well for both of us, and I thank you for allowing him to come and preach in my place last week and giving my family and I an opportunity to go and just get away for a little bit. And so we enjoyed that, but it's always good to be back again. It's always good to be home. So we're going to look together here this morning, a few minutes, at Luke chapter 5. We had a good week this past week. Got to go to a family reunion and meet the oldest living relative on that side. I think she was 93 years old. It's my great-grandfather's sister. And some distant cousins, second, third, fourth cousins, I don't know. Anyway, some distant cousins that never met before. Had a good week. I got to go do some of that. Got to go and see a church in Viburnum, Missouri that was planted by my great-great-great-grandfather over 100 years ago. And so all things I've heard about and people I've heard about and places, and got to go see some of those and meet some of those folks this week. So we had a good time doing that. I can't quite decide if I'm ready to go back to work yet or not. I've been wearing shorts and t-shirt all week, and today's the first day I had to actually put something more than shorts and t-shirt on. So, I don't know, work's going to come on Tuesday whether I'm ready for it or not, I guess. But you know what, if you're like me, vacation can go one of two ways. You come back feeling refreshed and encouraged, revived, and you're ready to take on life. You know, you're ready, whatever life has for me, well, I'm ready to take it on. Or you come back exhausted and broke and in need of a vacation. Or a combination of the two. I want you to think back to the last time you had some time off, took some time away. Think back to what that experience was like. What was your motivation in that? Maybe it was to spend time with family. Maybe it was just to not have to get up, not have to set an alarm clock for a few days. I had to set my alarm clock this morning and wasn't quite used to that anymore. You know, maybe that was your motivation. You just want to get away and just disconnect from everything. Maybe you just had some extra money and had to spend it. I don't know what your purpose, your motivation was the last time you went on vacation, but let me ask you this. Was there anything about that that was spiritual? Was there a spiritual purpose to anything that you did? Was there any kind of motivation, intent on your part that during this downtime I'm going to accomplish such and such spiritually? And probably for most of us, the answer to that is no. And that's okay, because we're in good company. Because I didn't set out for that purpose a week ago either. I should have, but I really didn't. I just didn't think about it. And just over the past few days, as I've looked at these verses, began to prepare to preach this morning, God really began to convict me that there's some things to be accomplished during those down times. I'm going to read together with you this morning from Luke chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. If you would stand with me out of reverence for God and His Word. If you don't have a Bible with you, the words will be on the screen. I encourage you to follow along with us that way. Reading from Luke chapter 5, and beginning in verse 15. Luke writes, "But the news about Jesus spread even more, and large crowds would come together to hear Him and be healed of their sickness. Yet He often withdrew to deserted places, and He prayed." Would you pray with me? Father, this morning we come before You and we recognize that in Jesus we find a standard. And in Him we find an example of what it means to live holy, what it means to honor You. And Father, I pray that we would be challenged by this specific case in Jesus' life. And Lord, as we look at it, that we would examine ourselves and our motivations and our purposes. Lord, that You would challenge us or convict us or encourage us, whatever our need may be this morning. Make Your word real to us, Father. Help us to take it, understand it, and apply it to our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let you be seated. Here in Luke chapter 5, we find Jesus calling His disciples. And one by one, He's calling each of them to come and to follow Him. And we've read those. Most of us know those stories. And Peter and James and John and Levi, Matthew is found in a tax booth, and Peter's out on a boat fishing, and we find them all in different places, and Jesus calls them all to be His disciples. And in the midst of this, in chapter 5, we also see there in verse 15 that He's healing people. They're flocking to him, crowds gathering around him because they want to hear Jesus preach and they want to be healed. And Jesus is surrounded by people and he's calling out certain ones to be his closest followers. And we know that they're going to be with him for the next 3 years and they're going to do ministry together with Jesus for the next 3 years. And right smack dab in the middle of that is verse 16. And it's almost like Luke just kind of stops and says, oh, by the way, Jesus often ran off by himself and left everybody else. And we think, well, where did that come from? You know, so often in Scripture, especially in the Gospels, as we're reading through, they kind of build up to things, and one verse kind of leads into the next, and they kind of flow together. But then we have verse 16 that just kind of stands right out here all by itself. Yet he often withdrew to deserted places, and he prayed. Why? Why would Jesus do that? Why would Jesus, surrounded by people, surrounded with things to do, just up and go do something else? And it's not that this is the only time it happened. Luke says he often did that. At the very end of his ministry, the night before the cross, we know Jesus goes out into the garden and leaves his disciples at the entrance, and he says, you all stay here and pray. And he goes out a ways into the garden by himself and he prays. This was something Jesus did on a regular basis. And when I worked at Green Hills, we had another teenager work there. One day just disappeared. We didn't know where he went. Looked all over the store, looked outside, looked in the restrooms. Couldn't find him anywhere. And finally, we found him. Somebody did. I don't remember who it was. But somebody found him in the produce cooler in the corner taking a nap. Well, needless to say, he left pretty quick and never came back after that event. And sometimes we wonder if that's what Jesus is doing. Is Jesus just tired and needs a nap? In reality, though, we see as we look into Scripture and we see here in these verses that there's really much more going on than that. This isn't hide and seek. This isn't Jesus calling his disciples and saying, well, if you can find me, you can stay with me and follow me. It's not that kind of thing. It's that he needs time alone with the Father. Jesus needed time spiritually for renewal and rest. And you know what the truth of it is? If Jesus needed it, so do we. It's easy to get busy. It's easy to get busy doing everything, doing good things, and forget to take time and just relax and be still before God. That's what we see Jesus doing here. We have to deal with a question as we begin that, though. The question goes something like this. Well, isn't Jesus God? And isn't God limitless? Isn't God all-powerful? Why would Jesus need that? Jesus doesn't get weak, does he? As we look into Scripture, we see that Jesus, when he comes to earth from heaven, never gives up his deity. He doesn't give up who he is as the second person of the Trinity, as God the Son. He doesn't give any of that up. He doesn't lose any of that. But at the very same time, we see that he takes on all of the human experience. Sin, or not, well, not sin, temptation, hunger, thirst, fatigue, loss. Jesus takes on the human experience in all of those things. And as a part of that human experience, he needs that time to go and to spend with his Father and to refocus spiritually and to be refreshed. It was not about being bored. Sometimes we get the idea that when we rest, when we're bored, well, if I just get all this done in a couple weeks, I'll have everything done and then I can have some time for you, God. Don't raise your hand if you've ever said that, because tonight I've raised mine too, okay? You know, we think that. Maybe not intentionally, maybe we don't really think it through all the way, but that's the way we act. When I get all this done, then I'll have some time. This wasn't about Jesus being bored. There was plenty to be done. This wasn't about being lonely or needing a friend. Sometimes you and I have experiences like that. Well, nobody else understands, and so I'm going to go to God, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to talk to him, because hopefully he'll understand, because nobody else does. Jesus was surrounded by people. He wasn't lonely. He was calling his disciples. They were going to be his closest friends over the next 3 years of ministry together. And Jesus didn't stop doing this once he called the disciples. He kept going all the way up to that last night in the garden before the cross. This was something Jesus kept doing. He had friends. He had those who were his closest allies. They were there and supported him, went with him, were his partners in ministry every step of the way. And yet he still took these times away. It wasn't about just needing a friend. And it wasn't a matter of being lazy or idle and just doing nothing. Now, we need that sometimes. We all do. There are times where we just need to sit and not do anything for a while. But there are also times that we need to focus on more than just being rested physically, but being renewed spiritually. And that's what we see Jesus do here. He got away with the intention of spending time in prayer with the Father. Remember that Jesus' ultimate goal was the cross. It was his ultimate goal. He did some healings along the way. He taught along the way. He did some good things along the way. Right here in chapter 5, we see Jesus doing some great things. And those things happened all through Jesus' ministry. But ultimately, his goal was the cross. And in his humanity, everything around him was a distraction to the cross. Even Peter, even the one that we see in the book of Acts in the New Testament, taking the reins and taking charge and leading after Jesus is gone, even Peter at one point rebuked Jesus for talking about the cross. He said, Jesus, don't talk about the cross. Don't talk about dying, because people don't want to hear that. They don't want to think about that. Everything in around Jesus and his humanity was a distraction to the cross. Not to mention the pain and knowing what was coming on the cross. And so Jesus would often get away and he would take these times to keep himself focused. He would take these times to go and to center himself spiritually and to keep his eyes on the prize of where he was going. Can I submit to you this morning that you and I need to do the same thing? There are times that what we need to do is to take a step back from the rest of life and remember what our focus is, what our purpose is. It's so easy to get caught up into everything that we're doing and all of the details and the specifics and all that has to be in order. And sometimes we forget to take a step back and to see that our real focus is God, that our real purpose is his creation, is to honor and glorify him as images of him, as reflections of him. And we get so busy doing other things that we forget that our existence is praise to him. And that our greatest need is him. We get so busy working for him that we forget to spend time sometimes with him. And so what I want to do this morning is look at three reasons for rest and renewal. Three reasons that you and I need to stop from time to time and rest and be renewed. Here's number one. Evaluate your current condition. You have the sheet that was in your bulletin this morning for notes. There are the words to fill in for those blanks. But evaluate your current condition. Figure out where you are. Figure out what's going on in life. Every time we go away on a trip of some kind, I left my phone down there on the front pew, but Dean and I have our phones in the car, and we have a GPS app, and it tells us where to go and where to turn and what highway to take, and tells us how much longer it's going to be till we get there. And I love that thing. I have a little mount that I put on the windshield of the car right next to the door. I can look, because I'm looking over. I can just glance over just a little bit. I can see that thing. I can look down at the radio and see that, you know, it's 4 o'clock, and the app says we'll get there at 5:30. We've got an hour and a half to go. You know, I have all that information right there. And it hadn't always been that way. Used to be that you'd get a map, right? Get those maps once a year. Either a big book, we'd go to Walmart, we'd get a big book. It was like this big, had a map of every state in the country. Or we'd get a little Missouri map that kind of folded up like an accordion and folded and never quite could fold it up the right way. But anyway, you get it folded up and get it in the glove box. And you pull that thing out and unfold it and look at the signs as you went by and figure out what mile marker you were at and where you were on the map. You know, you had to do all that by hand. And you know what? Rest of renewal is a lot like that. Sometimes we need to just stop and look at where we've been spiritually and where we are. What has God done in your life over the past year? How is your life today different spiritually than it was a year ago? What things has God done that you need to stop and give him praise for? See, we don't often do that. What things are going on in your life right now? Where are you? Spiritually? Emotionally? Physically? Sometimes what we need is simply to stop and evaluate those questions. There may be some things that God has done for you and done in your life over the past 6 months, 12 months, that you've not even thought about, or you've forgotten about, or you never really stopped long enough to take the time to give God the thanks and the praise that he deserves for the way that he has sustained you and been at work and the spiritual growth that you've experienced over the past months. Or maybe over the past week or day. Take some time to stop and evaluate where you are, what's going on in your life. You need it. You need to step back and to look at the big picture. It's easy sometimes to get so caught up in one little task. You know, a couple years ago when we redid the laundry room in our house, first time and only time I've ever laid ceramic tile. And I'll never want to do it again because it took me way longer than I thought it would. Because I was concerned, I see some people out there shaking their heads like, yeah, I've been there. I was so concerned that every one of those lines be exactly straight and the grid line up just perfectly. And then I get done and I step back and I look at it and I think, yeah, that line kind of goes this way just a little bit and that doesn't line up quite. You know. When in reality, that was a small part of the whole project. And sometimes we need to just step back and get our mind off those little minute details that don't make a lot of difference at the end of the day and look at the big picture. What's going on in your life right now today may capture your attention so much that you forget about what God did in your life last week or yesterday or last year. Take some time to step back and to see that big picture and allow God to show you the way that he is at work and to show you all that is going on in your life. Number two, renewal requires rest. Those are different things. You do the resting, God does the renewing. And God can't renew you while you're running through life every day, all day, as fast as you can. Sometimes you need to stop and be renewed. You ever try to work on a car while you're driving it? I haven't. I don't think it'd work very well. Like one time, I tried to work on a piece of machinery while it was running. It was 10 degrees outside, and I was in a hurry. And I have a scar on the tip of my finger that I'll never forget that lesson. You're no different. We think we can just keep running through life, keep going as fast as we can, doing everything we want to do, as often as we want to do it. Everything's going great, and we're busy, and we're doing good things. We're serving God. We're serving the church. We're doing all these things. And God, would you refresh me a little bit along the way? Thanks, bye, see you later. It doesn't work that way. Renewal requires rest. Remember what the psalmist said? The psalmist on behalf of God said, be still. Be still and know that I am God. Be still, God says to us, and know that I am God. When was the last time that was your theme verse for the day? Today I'm just going to be still before God. I'm just going to spend some time meditating on him and his word. I'm going to be still and just honor him and allow him to speak to me. It's not sin to rest. It's sin to be lazy. It's sin to have poor stewardship. It's sin to run away from something you should be doing. But there are times that rest and renewal is what we should be doing. Because what we need is God.
Listen, you were created for Him. You were created by Him. You were created to experience relationship and fellowship with your Creator. The Creator of heaven and earth knows your name. I don't know why, but at 4 o'clock this morning, I woke up and the dog was at the door, pawing at the door and crying to go outside. And I laid there for a minute thinking he'd give up and just everything would be okay, and he didn't. So after about 5 minutes, I got up and got the leash out, and we went outside and let him take care of what he needed to do. And I just looked up and looked at all the stars. And I stood there for a few minutes and just marveled at how beautiful it was. And the fact that God knows every single one of those stars. And He knows my name. And He knows what's going on in my life. And my greatest need is Him. And sometimes we must rest and be renewed by Him. Remember Ephesians chapter 6 talks about spiritual warfare. It says our wrestle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and forces of darkness and those kind of things. And there in the middle of that chapter in verse 10, some translations translate it as be strong in the Lord. And we read that and we think to ourselves, aha, be strong. Okay, God, I'm going to be strong for You. And that's a poor translation. Some newer translations actually translate it better. Be strengthened by the Lord's strength. Because that's what it really means. It's a passive thing. Let God strengthen you. Let God be your strength. You cannot do that running down the highway at 90 miles an hour in life. You need to rest in order to be renewed. Let God renew you. Let that time with Him bring renewal, spiritual renewal and recharge to your life. You need to be renewed and rest physically. You need that probably emotionally. You need time away. You need to connect with family. You need to do all those things. But you also need some time just to go before the Lord quietly and be refreshed and renewed. Number three, dream. Dream and plan for the future. Imagine what the future could be like. Some of the greatest things that have ever happened in this world have happened because somebody had a dream. As a church, we are known all over town for a food pantry that started as a dream. Was it 20, 25 years ago, something like that? A group of people went away for a weekend on a retreat and came back and said, we need to start a food pantry and a daycare. They didn't get worried about all of the details of it and who's going to do what and when and how. There was time to come for all of that. But they came back with a vision from God and a dream. A dream about what was going to happen and what God could do. And that vision became reality. And sometimes during those times of rest and renewal, we need to look at the future and consider what it looks like, what it could look like. God, what can You do for me? God, what would You do in my life? How would You use me? Sometimes God drastically, radically changes our direction. This past week, David Platt, who is the pastor of the church at Brook Hills in Birmingham, Alabama, this past week, he was elected the next president of the International Mission Board. And I haven't had a chance to research this yet, but if I'm not mistaken, he's probably the youngest ever president of the International Mission Board. And as he talked about that and talked about how all that came to be, he said, you know, we talk at Brook Hills a lot about having a blank check and just giving God a blank check and saying, God, You just tell me what You want. And he said, and that's what God did for me. Sometimes rest and renewal is a chance just to go before God and give Him a blank check. And say, God, what do You want in my life? The future may look nothing like the past. You know, I'm talking about that map and getting the map out. There are times where you do that and you get the map out and you realize your exit was 15 miles ago and you got to turn around and go back. You're on the wrong course. And sometimes in rest and renewal, we spend time with the Lord and we look at where we've been and we look at where we are. We look at where we're going, and God reveals to us that, you know what, it's time to dream bigger. It's time to dream differently. It's time to do something new. And maybe that's the area of service that you're in. Maybe that's your expectation for how God's going to use you in the years ahead. Maybe there's something that you've been thinking about and praying about. Boy, I wish somebody would do this. I wish somebody would do that. I wish somebody would. And God says to you, ah, but you're the one. Dream. Dream big. Take the opportunity and plan for relationships. Look around your life at those who don't know Jesus, who need to know Jesus. And spend that time of rest and renewal before the Lord just talking to Him and saying, God, how can I get to know them? How can I build a relationship with them? God, how can I invest in them in a way that provides an opportunity to share the gospel with them? Dream. Plan. Let God direct your thinking about the future. What does it look like? Remember Matthew 19? Jesus made this statement, for wherever your treasure is, there what? There your heart is also. Wherever your dream is, that's where you're going to go. Those things that you lay awake at night and daydream about, those things that you think about and think, oh, I'd love this or I'd love that. Given enough time, that's where you'll be. And so use those opportunities for rest and renewal to dream. Let God direct that dream and where it is, what the future looks like. And so there's three reasons. Three reasons for rest and renewal. Let me close this morning with this. Remember John chapter 4. In John chapter 4, Jesus goes to the well to draw water. And there he meets a woman. And they start a conversation about living water versus real water and what all that means. And Jesus makes, or she rather makes the statement, asks the question of Jesus, are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself? And in her mind, when it came to that well, Jacob was the standard. Jacob was the bar that they aspired to be like. She wanted to know, was this new guy, this stranger, she didn't know it was Jesus, the stranger, are you better than Jacob? Well, of course he was. He was Jesus. She didn't know that. And she posed the question. Because in her mind, Jacob was the standard. And you know what? I think the truth is that same principle, that same question, even can be applied to us in the area of rest and renewal. Are you any better than Jesus? Are you any stronger than Jesus? If he needed times of rest and renewal, don't we? Absolutely. Sometimes daily. Sometimes weekly. Sometimes yearly, whatever the case may be. And I don't know what all of this means in your life. I know what it means in my life. I don't know what it means in yours. Maybe you need to do better about taking time every day to spend with God and be renewed. Maybe you need to make a commitment to be present and to be a part of worship every week, to have that rest and that renewal that comes from being together as the body of Christ. Maybe you need to make it a point to set aside time on a regular basis and even put it on your calendar. I don't know. I don't know what you need to do. But I know this. That Luke says in Luke chapter 5 and verse 16 that Jesus, not sometimes, not once, Jesus often withdrew to deserted places and prayed. And this much I know to be true. If Jesus needed it, so do we. And so next time you have some downtime, next time you have an opportunity to disconnect, get away. Make sure you take some time to be still and be quiet before the Lord. And experience spiritual renewal and refreshment. Because everything in this life is a distraction. Our ultimate goal is Christ. Our ultimate goal is to be like Him. Our ultimate goal is holiness. Our ultimate goal is to be the reflection, the image of God that we were created to be. And so much of what we see and interact with and experience in this life is a distraction to that. And let's be honest with ourselves for a second. You're not going to go a day without facing some temptation. Jesus didn't. Jesus experienced temptation, the same temptations. They may have looked a little different in his day, but they were still temptations. They were still the same things. You say, does that mean Jesus was ever tempted to tell a lie? Well, Scripture says he was tempted in every way as we are. I don't know any other way to think about it than that. And so he needed those times away. And we do too. And so I encourage you, put it on your calendar, do whatever you have to do. Find some time for spiritual refreshment and renewal on a regular basis. Because you need it. We all do. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you this morning for this time together. Father, we thank you for Jesus. And God, we recognize that our calling to be holy as you were holy is only possible through the blood of Christ that was given for us. Father, I pray for us today. I pray for those who are here this morning that are so busy that they're not taking time to stop and be still before you. God, I pray that you would challenge us, you would call us to make that a priority. God, I pray for those who feel as though they have nothing to do, who feel as though they are constantly idle. God, that you would reveal to them yourself and give them opportunities to enjoy refreshment and renewal and enjoy you in your presence. Lord, teach us what it means today to seek after you and to be still and quiet before you. Teach us what that means, Father. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.